Well, if you've got your Bible, look at that. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 is a wonderful scripture. Turn to Isaiah. Let me just read about two or three scriptures and then we'll pray, okay? I just want us to look at something, okay? It's in the atonement. We've looked at this before, but how many know sometimes we get in such a hurry to pray, we forgot. What are we standing on? What scripture are you basing that on? Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. And I know we don't have to look at every scripture. We can go straight to the throne room of God because we know that. But sometimes it's good to take a look. Amen? The Bible says that the Word of God is sharp. It's full of power. The Word itself. Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. The Word will become what? Medicine to our flesh, to our very own body. But here it says in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And in the margin of my Bible, it says sicknesses and pains. Hallelujah. Surely He hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Glory to God. Whoo, you'd think people would start getting excited, you know? This is what the Bible says. This is God speaking to us. God wrote it down so that you and I today can know the truth. Amen. This right here. Yes, He became sin, but He also became sick. It's right here in the same atonement. The same power that forgives of sin will heal you. Turn to Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and we see this verse fulfilled right here. Matthew chapter 8, 16 and 17 says, when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed what? All who were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Glory to God. He said that it might be fulfilled. We know. What was Isaiah talking about? We know where it was. We just read it. Didn't we? What was he talking about? Joe knows that. Amen. Amen, brother. We know that, don't we? We see it here in the Bible. And then let's look at 1 Peter. Peter said this looking back. Now, some people say, well, that was spiritual healing. But I've got news for you when you really look these words up. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he is talking about physical healing for your body. Of course there's spiritual healing for you. There's spiritual restoration. Really, we're not ever spiritually healed. We're spiritually what? Reborn, right? You've got to be born again. You get a new nature. You say, well, that's a healing. Well, in a sense, we could say that. I'm not going to argue with you there. But the healing that Jesus was talking about was a physical healing. He physically took the wounds on His body. He became bruised for you and I from head to toe. And He bore that sickness to the cross that you and I need not bear it. There is good news in the house today. Isaiah 2:24, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And it cannot, when you look this up in the Greek, it is not possible to misunderstand that He was talking about a physical bodily healing for you, that you can receive a miracle. Amen. See, sometimes we've got to get ourselves over there. You know, if you're having struggle, get your Bible open, meditate. There's just three verses right there. You can get a miracle. Just meditate a little. Think about it. Write it down on a card. Say it to yourself. Sometimes I like to take 1 Peter 2:24. Surely. Oh, I'll take that first word. I'll just say, surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. By his stripes I'm healed. That means for sure, guaranteed, no lacking. See, and then I'll say, surely he, who is he? I'm thinking about it. See, we're getting our mind over there. He has borne my sicknesses. That's Jesus himself. God Almighty in the flesh bore my sicknesses, carried my pain. By his stripes I was healed. Surely he what? Has. Oh, glory to God, it was done. He did the job. He has. See, and just take each word, and I'll just go through it over and over. Just emphasize each word as I go through. Surely he has. Then surely he has what? What did he do? He has borne, carried. You know, when you bear something, you carry it, don't you? He bore it where? To the cross. He has borne. It was put on him. In my place, in your place. Hallelujah. He has borne our sickness, carried my pain. By his stripes it was healed. Surely he has borne mine. You and I, personalize the word of God to yourself. Surely he has borne mine. And I'll emphasize and think on each word. And finally, you're there. Surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. By his stripes I was healed. I believe, I receive, Father, your healing in my body. I'm not going to draw back. I'm not going to let the enemy win. When we talk about sickness and disease, we need to realize where it came from. How he anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. See, there's a secret that you and I have, and it's right here inside the Word of God. We've got inside information. We know who the culprit is, and that's what he's trying to hide from the church today. It's the devil that brought the sickness and disease, not God Almighty. The devil, he's the troublemaker. You want to blame someone? Don't blame God. Amen. You blame the devil. And you say, out in Jesus' name, leave me alone. And I didn't say, you don't have to yell and scream necessarily. You know, I've cast the devil out with a whisper. I said, come out. Come out. No! I said, come out. He's the one that's all upset because he knows he's got to go. See, we just have to decide. It's not an option. It's not a maybe. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Go. Get out. Leave my body. Sickness, you leave my body. You're not of God. God has nothing to do with it. He didn't put that on you. He didn't destroy you. Amen. Well, anyway, that was good anyway. Good preaching. We might have two or three messages today. I don't know. I've got all kinds of things here today. All right. Well, did you bring an offering this morning? Well, if you didn't, it's okay. We still love you anyway. Amen. But how many know it's good to give to God? It's offering time. And I've been talking about something. I wanted to share the last part. I said last week I would share the last part this week, and I will. But we mentioned last week in Luke 12, we saw the provision of God. Okay? We were looking at Luke 12 for a minute, and we saw the provision of God, where we saw the lily, remember? We saw the lily of the field, the grass, you know, and how it grows, and the birds of the air. How is God not going to take care of you? He certainly will. And then we said that also, secondly, we gain peace. And as we gain the peace of God, we kind of graduate unto a place of stewardship with him. And we talked in Luke 16, we read about the, you can write these down, you can read it again if you need to, praise the Lord. But in Luke 16, 1 through 10, we talked about the man, you know, who was the steward. Now, we want to be sure that we, you know, remember he's talking about the steward here and the master, not necessarily talking about God or Jesus, but a master, you know, someone he's working for. And so, and we said that they became, a steward is someone who is the manager of another person's property, finances, or affairs. And from there, I want us today to turn a couple chapters over here, to three chapters, in chapter 19, and we see the parable of the 10 pounds there. Okay? The different pounds that Jesus handed out, the different amounts of money. And we come from a place of, yes, we know God is our provider, and we come to a place, hey, we want to be a steward of what you give us, Lord, and what we have. But both of those are kind of standing in a place where, hey, you know, this is something that I have that I steward. And we don't really lose those places, but we continue. We want to continue to graduate. And the third place that I have down is increasing the talent or increasing the money that God gives you. And here we see, if we look let's start in verse 11. And it says here, and they heard these things. He added and spake a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain... Oh, wait a minute. Is that right? Yes, it is. Okay. A certain nobleman went out into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Okay. And we can see here, when he's talking about occupy, he's saying do business until I come. But this, his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass when he'd returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading or by doing business or trading that money. Then came the first saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. Hallelujah. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, or in a handkerchief, we might say. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. So he's saying, here, you reap what you didn't sow, you take up what you didn't. You know, you didn't lay down. And so he says to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I did not, what I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not your money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which has shall be given, and for him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Okay, so here he's saying about those that had the pound, they were given it, and they were to take it, and they were to trade it and make more. This is the next level of what God gives us, listening to the Holy Spirit, really, and saying, Lord, how would you like me to handle the money, amen, that you are giving me to steward, right? So here, how you handle money tells God volumes about how you will handle people. God watches your fruitfulness and stewardship. He watches your heart and your obedience. Here we are increasing the pound, being faithful to increase the pound, to gain by business and trading. Stewarding in phase two does nothing about says nothing about increasing money. He's given the anointing in the third phase here to increase the pound. He said, you've got the ability. You can increase the money. You could at least, he said to the guy that came back and had it wrapped in a napkin, the least you could have done was put it into the bank and gotten some interest. In other words, you could have put it somewhere safe, and at least you would have, you know, whatever the percentage would be, 3%, 5%, whatever it might be. But most Christians think, how much of my money will I give to God? The steward thinks all of it is his money. Out of all of his, all he's given me, how much, really, we should be thinking, how much is my provision? How much is reserved for the gospel of God? Fix your provision at a fixed dollar amount, so much a month, or so much that you're going to live on every week or every month. We fix it, why? Because if we go by percentage, then your box is just going to get bigger and bigger, isn't it? Oh, well, look here. See, oh, I give this to God, and then my box gets bigger too. Yeah, you give a little bit more to God. You know, if you said 10%, you know, you're giving to God, which is okay. It's a beginning point. It's being a good steward and moving forward. But we're looking at something bigger here. With a percentage, as the box gets bigger, your part gets bigger. But with a set amount, as the box gets bigger, your part stays the same. Amen? So it doesn't matter if I'm a business owner and I say, well, me and God talk, and he says, hey, I mean, maybe I'll make millions of dollars. You know, yeah, that's okay, isn't it? You know, but maybe the Lord speaks to me. You know, he doesn't mind you being well taken care of, but you talk it over with him. If he says $100,000 a year, fine. Then keep it there and believe God. Amen. Whatever it is. And then it says what? Here, the Holy Spirit will co-labor with you and give you ideas no one has had before to increase the pound. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you how to increase. Amen? How many know that the Holy Spirit has wisdom beyond man? See, man, I looked into this a little bit, and I saw they had one year where they were asking all the people that was so smart. You know, they're the great investors. You know, well, what's the market going to do? So how many did you think they asked 2,700 of them. What do you think the market's going to do this year? How many of them do you think were correct? There were 17 that were fairly accurate, that were close, very close to what the market would do out of 2,700. That tells me most of the people have no idea what the market's going to do, even the great investor. But how many know the Holy Spirit is 100%? He knows what the market's going to do. And I remember Brother Hagin talking about a man that would seek God. He was an investor, and he would invest in different things, and sometimes it looked like this is a great investment. But he would take time. He'd spend 2 or 3 days just alone with God and pray and read the Word of God and listen to his heart? Do I have peace on this situation? Sometimes it looked like, hey, this can't fail. And God would say, no, I don't want you to invest in that. Other times he would bring things he was sure was going to fail. Oh, this will be an easy decision. But as he prayed, peace of God would come. And he said he hit it 100% of the time. Now, he's got me beat by a lot, long shot. I don't know about you, but hallelujah. Sometimes we can fail, but how many know God is the God who doesn't let us fail? We know it wasn't God that spoke to me if I failed, right? Amen. You can say amen or oh me. Either way, you're still right. Hallelujah. Amen. Because sometimes we want to learn. We're learning to become those people. See, we're going from one phase to another. If that's your call in life, you may be called to be a gospel entrepreneur. But we're all called. How many know every single one of us has to deal with money? Amen. Even if you do nothing else but invest some somewhere, and they say, you know, perhaps your different stages of life, you want to use wisdom. Amen. And the world does cry out with some wisdom, but we want to listen to the Lord. When you have extra money, it doesn't mean he wants you to give, you know, if you have an extra $100,000 today, hallelujah, amen, come on, let's get our faith up there, or a million, or 2 million, or a billion, somebody, come on now, let's not think so small. Let's get our minds thinking with Jesus. We're talking about God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who made the money said the earth is the Lord's, the fullness therein, they that dwell therein. It belongs to him. He knows where it is, and he knows how to help you get some. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're on a fixed income. Does it make any difference? We're all fixed wherever we settle for. But you can increase with God. Amen. And you know, you say, well, I need a raise. Well, talk to him. He may give you one. He's not stingy. God's not. Not only that, you know what? You can have a certain amount of money, believe God for things. We think, oh, well, I need money for that. No, you need the thing. You don't necessarily need money. I remember I really needed a truck. I didn't have money. I was actually thinking about putting a ball on the back of the truck, a tow ball, so that I could tow this trailer, this large, pretty large trailer, out to Denver, and then I was going to, you know, take my stuff, you know, to save some money. I bought a trailer because I figured I could sell the trailer, which eventually I did. And, you know, so what does that mean? Your move was what? Free, right? It's free. Why? Because who gave you that idea? Well, God did. I felt like the Lord gave me that idea. He was telling me, but I thought, Lord, I've got to have something to pull it with. I've got, you know, so I guess I'll get this thing. So I'm believing God to get this, you know, to have something to pull with anyway. Well, he didn't think the car was good enough, so he gave me a truck. He said, gave you? Yes, gave me a vehicle. Gave it to me. I remember meeting the person. They said, can I meet you? I said, sure. He said, I got something I want to talk to you about. And I said, well, I didn't know if he wanted to talk about his marriage. I didn't know if they've got trouble or if he had some other problem he needed some counsel on or what he wanted to do. But he said, I want to talk to you. I said, sure. Where do you want to talk? And we met. And I said, well, we talked a little bit. And I said, well, what's going on? What seems to be the problem? He said, well, and he hands me these keys, and he says, I want you, so, okay, well, do you want me to drive you somewhere? You know, I didn't know what he wanted, you know. He says, no, that truck is yours. And my great faith, you know, are you sure? You know what? We don't want to take advantage of anyone, amen. You know, God doesn't mind you making sure. Lord, are you sure? And if you'll take enough time, he'll make it clear to you. He'll make it crystal clear. You don't have to make a mistake. You know, the problem is, we said, well, I don't have time to keep praying all the time. But somehow you just seem to have time to fail. And how many know sometimes our failures cost us more than if we'd just taken the time out to begin with? Amen? All right. It's good preaching, Pastor Doug. That's good preaching. you know, but if we'll take time to wait on the Lord. Well, I'm not sure yet. Well, wait a little longer. Wait a little more. He'll come. He'll make it clear. He's not hiding something from us. He said, my sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That inner witness that's on the inside of you is enough to put you over. Amen. It will tell you, do I sense the peace of God there? Do I know that God's leading me in this direction? Am I certain? And sometimes we don't have to be 1,000%. He may just give you a little bit first. Go here. Okay. Do this. Okay. As you take each step, He will guide you along the way. And you say, oh, wow. Okay, yes, this is working. This is going forward. And when it's not, stop and say, Lord, am I missing something? Or is this, you know, do I just need to wait? Do I, you know, what's happening? What's going on? He'll make it clear. He'll help you. He doesn't mind. You're His child. You're His, you know, if you had a parent, they would be right with you. It's all right. How many of you know sometimes it's a little scary when you make steps with God? Amen. You're saying, oh, Lord, I've never done this before. You know, I've been trained in it, but I've never done it. How many of you know the book is not always exactly the way it works out in life? Yeah, it's good to know what the book says, what the Bible says. But when we begin to step out with God, there's emotions involved. There's other things. There's circumstances that surround us and try to speak to us. Oh, you know, that's how the enemies work from the beginning. We've learned that, haven't we? Did God say? Yes, He did say. Yes, He did. I got that on the inside. I know. And sometimes we can know something, but how many know? See, direction grows like a tree. As you pray, it continues to grow. It continues to mature. It continues to gain. You know, we have a branch here, and then you get a branch there. And then you, you know, and then you get some leaves on there, and then some fruit's growing. Amen. And it takes some time sometimes in God's direction. It's one step at a time. This seemed good. This is where I should work. This is where I should begin. See, there's different parts of your life. We're all called, number one. And what is our number one call? Do we know? To reconcile people to God. That's what He said. We are all to be what? That witness for Him, reconciling men to God. It could be, you know, you say, well, I've just got a passion for to be in politics. It's just in my heart. Well, praise the Lord. We need you. We need you. We need in. How many believe we need influence in every area of life? We need the voice of God in that place. You are so valuable. Wherever you go, you are valuable. You know why? You can hear God. Me? Yeah, you. You can hear God. If you can hear God, you become valuable. Very valuable. Because His wisdom supersedes that of this world. You know, there are things I've done. I thought, well, you know, I wouldn't have done it that way, but okay, we'll do it that way, Lord. Turned out great. Hey, give Him this suggestion to your boss. Pretty soon you start getting favor with the boss. You got any more of those suggestions? Amen. You know, I knew a guy who worked at the plant, and you know, he was always giving suggestions, but he'd give foolish stuff. You know, just kind of, you know, something off the whim, something, you know, ideas that were just, you know, not really good. But another guy, he would give them sound advice. Hey, you know, I really think we need a safety switch right here on this particular machine. Or, you know, and they would get bonuses for certain ideas. But, you know, if you just go out and just throw out ideas, many of them not really thought through, you know, they're not, after a while, how many of you know, do they listen to your ideas? Oh, no, that's Jim. Forget that one. That's just him. That's not, you know, anything I want to hear. But if you start having some things that make sense, then you become valuable to that company. You become valuable to your employer. You become valuable to business. Amen. And so God can help you to increase. Amen. If you become more valuable, guess what? They don't lay you off, do they? No. Or you get your own business, they can't lay you off. That's what God leads you to do. Glory to God. You're the boss. You're in charge. And we need more people like that in business, in the world. Yes, in the church too. You know, you may have a call and say, well, I'm a teacher. Well, what kind of teacher are you? Are you a Sunday school teacher? Are you a teacher that's, you know, supposed to stand at the podium? Are you a teacher in a Bible study? What kind of teacher has God called you to be? Think about it. Pray about it. Begin to seek Him. And if it's never more than, you know, under someone else, that's okay. Say, well, I'm number two at my job. Well, what's wrong with being second in command? Amen. You know how to submit. You know how to get your worth from God, right? Amen. If that's where God calls you. But guess what? You can be second in command, be in charge. You say, well, how can I do that? Because you're given all the ideas that they're taking. You're hearing from heaven. You just jot a few things down. You know, I remember one guy, he was always praying. He said, well, how could it give you so much time to pray? Well, God gives me the bottom dollar, and I write it down, tell him what the bottom dollar needs to be on this particular bid, and they get the job. Happens all the time. Wow. Freed up his time to seek God. If you can start hearing him clearly, amen, things change. And we all can. And we all have that ability. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's my offering. But I guess that's where we're going today for now. We've got 10 minutes left. So hallelujah. We may as well finish it off. Amen. But how many know God wants you to increase? Whatever area of life you're in, He wants you to increase. Amen. Whatever it is, He wants you to excel. Well, I'm number two. Well, maybe God wants you to be number one. That could be too, right? Well, how can I increase myself? You know, the problem is there are some things that God speaks to us that are very natural, and we just kind of, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, you mean like what, Pastor Doug? Well, I want you to take a night class. What? What? Yeah, just take a night class. Why? Well, make you more valuable. You need it for the next thing I want you to do. Well, I know, but that doesn't even seem to have anything to do with what I'm doing now. So what? Do you think God knows? Is He smarter than you? He's smarter than you and I. See, we need to be listening. We need to think, hey, I need that class. I have to increase myself. God wants me to increase in my mentality. Exercise? Why should I exercise? I'm only 30. I mean, come on. Why should I exercise? Maybe He needs you to live a long time in the earth. Maybe there's something in your body and it's going to help you and keep you from getting sick. A lot of times we don't think about it. I mean, we were talking and praying for health earlier. You know, well, God's been talking to me to exercise for the last 2 years. I haven't done anything. Well, keep praying. He'll get you there. Well, every time I go back to prayer, He just says exercise. He's trying to get across to you, and God's more stubborn than you are. I promise you, He will not change His mind. He might stop talking to you for a while. Lord, you didn't say, you know, well, yes, I know. You know, He didn't have to say anything because you already know. Down in your heart, you go to Him then, you're telling Him, I know I need to exercise, Lord. I know I need to do that. I know I need to take that class. Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to get off on all that, but these are things that can cause us to prosper and succeed in life. It's not just knowing what God said, but who He is. and that relationship with Him and how to apply what He has given us. You know, you can increase your talent. Amen. By what? Exercise and by matter of use. How many in here ever took a job? You know, maybe when you first started out, you weren't too swift. You might not have known much about it. But as you continued to use that, you got better and better, didn't you? Yeah. Oh, okay. And you learn new things and you learn how it all worked. And pretty soon you're on that register and you're taking the money and you're talking to the client and you're helping them. Oh, this is what you need. And before you know it, you're valuable to the company because you were willing to stay it out. Say, well, they were paying me along the way. If they would pay me, I'd go to school. Well, God pays all the time. He pays dividends. Sometimes it's not every Friday, but it will pay off if you're hearing Him. Amen. Glory to God. We need you. We need you in the workforce. We need you in society. We need people in different places of authority. I mean, you know, if you really feel God's called you into politics, it might not hurt to become a lawyer or something like that, right? Where you know how to argue your case. Where you know how to share what's on your heart. We don't need people up there that are stupid. You know, well, God called me. Well, that's great and wonderful, but if you don't know anything, it doesn't help us. Amen? I mean, you can be saved and sanctified. Oh, well, I'm called to be a pastor. Have you read the Bible? Well, I read it twice. You know, I read the Bible twice. I'm ready. You know, some people are like that. You know, oh, I read it twice. I'm just telling you, I read it twice. Not once, twice. The whole Bible. I read the whole thing twice. Now, wouldn't you have confidence in me? You know, well, he doesn't know very much. You know, well, he can hear God. Well, that's great and wonderful. But he doesn't know what the Bible means. You know, he just gets up there and reads a few verses. And, you know, that's great and wonderful. But you can do that, right? So I can read the Bible. I need to know what God's saying. We need to study to show ourselves approved. And sometimes we have to study in life. See, it's not just, you know, He affects every area of our life, the Holy Spirit. Prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is good health, right? You know, He might say, hey, take some vitamin. I know a particular guy specifically. He was having a terrible time with his health. One little thing he started taking, every symptom disappeared. One product. Just a little supplement. Wasn't much. God's whispered it to him. He heard it. Didn't have enough in his body. How many know God knows more about your body than any doctor? He knows more than any great nutritionalist. He's the best. He knows. See, sometimes we get so wrapped up and we don't listen. You know, well, I've been speaking the Word of God. Well, He's trying to get the answer to you. I know one particular lady, they spoke the Word of God and that's all they did for 2 years. And she started having dreams and she started eating different foods. She changed her diet. Within a month, she was out of the wheelchair. She had MS, totally cured, totally healed, came out of it. See, if you'll speak the Word of God, God is determined to get it across to you, whatever it is you need, whether it be a natural means, whether it be a supernatural means, whatever you need, God will do. See, sometimes we are so caught up trying to be spiritual. Well, God's healing me. Of course He's healing you. But on your journey, He might ask you to go see a physician. They aren't trying to come against you. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you get well, just to let you know. And sometimes where we are in our journey of faith, I am thankful that there's been physicians along the way, because if they weren't there, some people would be dead. Probably one of the greatest things of the last 100 years was antibiotics. You know, it doesn't mean you have to take them. It doesn't mean you have to go to a doctor. Yes, you know, if we pursue God, he's going to do it one way or another. But I'm telling you, if he told you something, we cannot go against what his word, what he has personally placed in your heart and the direction he wants you to go, and try to override it, saying, well, this is what, no, here's his direction for you. We must follow it. Yeah, but I'm embarrassed. Well, cast off your embarrassment and obey God. Amen? Jesus said we're to be of what? No reputation. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, sometimes it may seem strange to your natural mind, but guess what? We've got to listen to Almighty God. Amen? We've got to listen, yes, to his word. He confirms it. He did say that Luke was a doctor. Did you know that? He also said it is not the well that need the doctor, but the sick. Now, Pastor Doug, which is it? Do I get a supernatural miracle or do I get healed by a physician? It may be both. Sometimes God brings both together and brings you a miracle. The natural and the supernatural working together can produce a powerful force for God. And many times, you know, if you get out in the business world, if you don't have natural understanding, natural advice, natural knowledge, you suffer. Well, what happened? Well, how come you didn't pay your taxes on that? I didn't know I had to. I thought I didn't have to. All of a sudden, you're $100,000 in debt. Because you didn't know. Knowledge brings power as well. Said, my people perish, what for a lack of knowledge. So we're talking about success today. We're talking about increasing in God. Increasing the talent, the pound that he has given you. How am I going to get more of that? You know, a lot of times people are praying for more money. And they start getting job offers. Well, I don't understand it. I'm asking God for money and all I get is job offers. I don't get it. But you do get it. You just didn't want to get it. Well, I didn't want to come that way, God. I wanted to come like so-and-so got their money. Well, you're not so-and-so. You're his special child. You're his favorite. Each one is his favorite. And it's going to come the way he has chosen with you as you walk with him in the place that you are. And yes, we believe God. Yes, we take the word of God. Yes, he'll do miracles for you. But it may not look exactly like mine. Or it may not look exactly like somebody else. Sometimes they make it sound so easy. Oh, well, I believe God and I got me a jet airplane. Praise God. They forgot about the 15 times God encouraged them. The 14 times they almost gave up. What? Yeah. Yeah, they forgot that part. It just makes it sound better. I believe God. Look what I got. No, we believed God. He encouraged me along the way. I sought him. I had to spend some time in worship because my emotions were killing me and I didn't think it was going to happen. I wasn't even sure it was going to happen. I did believe the best I knew how, but I had to do a little fasting and get rid of that unbelief. And I had to seek after the face of heaven and pray in the Holy Ghost until my faith rose. And then God and I together, we caused it to happen. Many times we leave him out of the equation. Look what, see, we can say things in a way. Look what I did. I believed God. Isn't that something? How I believed God. Man, and then people look around. They say, I don't know if I can ever come to that place of faith. No, I walked with God. We together found the plan. Me and him together. See, it's not you. It's you and the Holy Spirit. And he was not happy with the servant that did nothing. Why didn't you do something? You are wicked servant. Verse 22 said, and he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I'm an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. You knew it. Instead, you stayed in. What did he say? He said, I feared. I didn't want to lose what I had. I didn't want to take the risk. And sometimes we allow fear to control our life. I don't want to take the risk. I might fail that class. It's advanced. Yeah, you might. But how many know failure is not the end? Even if you did fail, that's not the end. That's the first attempt, right? That's just the first attempt. So, well, I'm not smart enough. Yeah, maybe not. But guess what? God will make you 10 times smarter. He did Daniel. He gave him wisdom and favor. Where's the Daniels? Where are Daniels of today? Will you stand up and say, no, I'm going to make it. Maybe the first time you did fail. Maybe you dropped out of high school. It's not over. You can still get a degree. You can still finish. You can still get help and finish. All things are possible with Him. Will you believe? Are we going to take the reins of our life and say, God, I know you have more for me than what I have here today. I'll not let fear rule me. Because you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. We've got to decide, are we going to follow God? Decide. Not decide, but anyway, decide. That's a little oaky there. Now, it might be in Tennessee. I don't know. Y'all in Tennessee down there, you understand me. But anyway, but being here in the great white north, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Praise the Lord. But anyway, it is important what we do. And when we're given things, Lord, what would you have me do? Am I going to increase it by trading? Am I going to really become the true steward you want me to be, Lord? Am I going to come to a place, or am I going to hide it in the napkin? See, he said, what did he say about our light? You don't take a bushel or a basket and put it over the candle. How many knows what happens if you put something over the candle that's burning? Even if it's clear, what's going to happen? The oxygen is going out. It's going to go out. What are you going to have left? One candle. But if you let the light shine, then we can see clearly. And others can see clearly the way. And you become a light. Amen. We let our light so shine before men. They see our good deeds and they glorify the Father in heaven. And we become what? An asset to society and to the kingdom. Amen. You know, it's not wrong to help your boss prosper. You know, if you're going there, you ought to give him a good day's work. You know, that means what? I don't steal time. I don't take a little extra on my lunch. I don't stop for 40 minutes, you know, and get my coffee in the morning. You know, I bring it with me, or I make a quick stop or something if they allow it, you know, but you don't steal from the boss. We don't steal by wasting time. We work with all of our heart as we're doing it unto the Lord to bring Him glory. Amen. All right. Well, these are ways, I guess I'm talking about ways of prospering really today, ways of success, ways to increase ourselves. And talking to the Lord about some of these things. Talk to Him. You know, some things we don't have to wait for God to give us a word. You can do it. Sometimes He doesn't care what kind of job you have right now. He wants you to grow with Him. He wants you to spend that time with Him. He wants that relationship and develop it. For a while in my life, any job will do. But I have to continue to grow with Him. Amen. How many know you can increase? We can use our faith. Get your faith out. See, we're saved, yes, by grace. But what is it through? Very good. I heard somebody say it. Faith. We're saved by grace. What? Through faith. It takes both. Somebody says, well, I believe. That's great. But how many know it's important what you believe? We must believe that He is. That He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We must believe. We must be born again. There's a few musts in the Bible. But I mention that because sometimes people say, well, it's just by grace. Isn't salvation by grace? Yes. Through faith. You must believe that He died on that cross. You must believe that He went to the cross with what? To pay the punishment for your sin. You must believe that He was put in the tomb, that He was raised bodily. He paid the price for man's sin. I believe that, Lord. And then we have to what? Confess Him. You have to say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Yeah, it was by grace. The grace part means, that just means it was free to you and I. That we didn't pay the price that He did. But we have to put faith in what He did. In the grace that He gave. See, grace is God's, what they say, you know. God's in other words, what you didn't deserve, Jesus did for us. That's the grace part. You know, I mean, if that's the case, if it's just grace, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why do we have to confess Him? Because it's grace through faith in what He did. Amen. So if you're here this morning, you've never really, or you're not sure if you confess Jesus as your Savior, if you're listening today, you're not sure if you've confessed Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says we must believe in our heart, Romans 10:9-10, and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness with God. And with the mouth, we make the what? The confession. We say out of our mouth, Lord Jesus, I need You. I have sinned and I need a Savior. And I confess You as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord. Help me live for You. That's being born again. See, that's when that change takes place. And we can believe that in our heart. And we say it with our mouth. Even though, yes, Jesus died for the sins, what, of the whole world. But they still must believe. They still must come to a place of acknowledging in their own mind, their own heart. Amen? Each one of us. Hallelujah. I'm finished, but I just want to put that out so that, you know, I know all of us, but guess what? Did you know you can fool me? I'm foolable. Sorry, but how many know God's, you can't fool God. You might come here, you might say, well, I pray in tongues, shandai, shandai, who stole my bow tie and all those things. You know, the Bible says sometimes people praise Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. And I don't want anybody to miss heaven. That's why I'm sharing this. And I don't care how righteous and great you are. There's people that have sung in the choir, taught people how to be born again, told them how to get saved, and they themselves had not yet given their heart to Jesus. Teaching Sunday school class. That's a shame. That's a shame. Usually it's not true, but it can be. It can be. Amen. We don't want to lose out. Paul said, I want to be all things. But he said, I don't want to be a castaway myself. I want to be diligent to make sure these things are in my heart, in my life. Amen.